Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the Ecom Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven and eight figure brand owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And the last couple days, in part at least, I have been putting the finishing touches on a Airbnb. I never thought in my life I would own and run an Airbnb. I don't think the ROI is often very good. It sounds like a nightmare trying to manage guests, parties, crazy tenants, people sneaking in, stealing stuff, doing rent. I mean, you've heard the horror stories. So a lot of maintenance, potentially very subpar ROI. So why would I do this? Stick around to the end and I will tell you why I made this decision. We'll be talking through the whole thought process, how I think it ties into an investment strategy, all these kind of things. But I want to give you the kind of the thought process, or at least the steps on what I went through to set it up, some of the things I've learned, some of the tactics that went into trying to set a framework for this, trying to put it on a good foundation. And you know, why talking about Airbnb on a podcast about e-commerce? Fair question. For a couple of reasons. And the biggest one is, you know, it's an investment. This is not just about this podcast and the brand and what I'm doing. It's not just about building businesses online digitally and with e-commerce, but also how do you take I am a big proponent, as you've probably noticed in the past, of taking at least some of the money from your business and putting it to work in other areas, diversifying away. And this is one potential way that you can do that with real estate in general. And so I think, yeah. And plus, it's just fun. I've been doing it. I want to talk about it. So, and I imagine there's a few people out there who've thought about it, or at least are running Airbnbs. So a little different, but should be fun. And we're going to go ahead and jump into it right now. So I do want to make it pretty clear. I'm recording this, you know, in October of 2025. I will plan on coming back and doing another follow-up episode on this to talk about how it went, the ROI. Just, you know, has it been a nightmare? Has it been way easier than I thought? But especially the financial returns on this in about, you know, 6 to 12 months. So it will be a fun follow-up to see how that goes. So process. How did, you know, what were some of the things that went into getting this ready to go? So we already had the house, and I'll talk about that why kind of near the end, but we had the property, which was nice. But the first part of this process for me was finding a really reliable on the ground co-host that could manage this property for me. It was a property I wasn't going to be close to geographically, and even if I was, I did not want to be the person getting the calls, running it. I needed someone else to be doing that. That was a non-negotiable. And actually, it was such a non-negotiable that if we couldn't find someone who was going to do that really well, I was prepared just not to do it. And so for me, the process I went through, I don't know if this is standard, but the approach I used was I went on Airbnb and looked for their co-hosts. And you can kind of do a search for all the co-hosts in an area. And these are people who manage other Airbnbs, either their own or for other people. And I went through and I looked at the listings of all of these co-hosts to get a sense of how they looked, how many reviews they had. You could kind of read the reviews, see how they interacted. You could also just, you know, kind of look at the profiles of each of these co-hosts like you can on anyone at Airbnb. And then I picked probably three or four co-hosts that seemed like they were responsible. They had good taste with their listings. They had good reviews. People had left them good reviews. And I picked three that had not a lot of Airbnbs. I didn't want someone who had like 20, because that's just, you're a, you know, small fish in a big pond at that point. I also didn't want someone that had just one, right? Because that means they don't have a whole lot of reps or experience. So, you know, people who had like in the 3 to 7 range, found the three, reached out to all of them, interviewed them, and ended up finding a great one. I met someone. It's so funny what people think is reasonable. I met one person who, before they would even meet me, wanted to sign a contract to run it. And it was just, anyways, it's amazing how quickly people weed themselves out sometimes. So the first part of the process was just finding a great co-host. Airbnb is a fantastic tool for that. Second step, getting the house ready. This was, you know, it is shockingly expensive to get a house, to furnish it. There's so many different elements. You've got to think through how decor goes together. You've got to think through, okay, what's our budget here? How do we do this without spending just $40,000? you got to think through timing. Anyway, it was just, it probably took us, oh man, it's probably 50 or 60 or 70 hours that went into getting this house ready, repainting it, thinking about all the things that are going to trip people up. And it helps a lot too if you go into it with some kind of, with a plan. ChatGPT is great for this. You can take pictures of rooms. You can ask for suggestions for decor and themes. If you have, you know, maybe you've got a part, you know, part of a furniture or bedspread or something, you can ask for what paint colors would look great, or what other pieces it would recommend, or where to buy those things. But it's just, it just takes a while. And so that was probably 60 or 70 hours getting through that. Photography, one of the things we really tried to do well and spend a lot of money on was photography. Yeah, I mean, you think about this from packaging, you're in e-commerce, and so you know the how important packaging is for products. Photography is your packaging for an Airbnb or for any kind of short-term rental. And so tried to find a phenomenal photographer, had them come at multiple times, two or three times. A big part of our property is kind of mountain views and light and sunsets. And so tried to have them come multiple times to get great, great pictures. And yeah, invested a ton of time there. And so we got a co-host. We've got the house finally ready. We've got photography. Now it's time. This is the fun part for me, is the marketing side of things. And man, I'm not a big writing fan. I don't know what it is, but if I'm chatting with ChatGPT about working with writing as a co-collaborator, hours just disappear. I can do it for 4 or 5 hours and I just get into this flow state, and it's really fun. And so I used a prompt for ChatGPT. I wanted to create two things. Obviously, you have to create the Airbnb copy that's going to sell it. And then I also wanted to create a really amazing guest book for our guests. And this was inspired by, we were staying on a farm in Portugal last summer, and they had this incredibly well done guest book that, and what I loved about it was it had pictures of their farm, but it had pictures that were, it looked like an illustrator, like someone had used a pen and kind of sketched them out in a really cool architectural style. It talked about the story of the farm. It talked about all the little nooks and crannies. It talked about places. Obviously, you know, there's places to eat and you have standard guidebooks, but it didn't feel like somebody had slapped this together in Microsoft Word. It felt like an artist who had lived on the farm for the last 40 years and wanted to be buried there was conveying just the beauty and the essence of this place to you. And I know that sounds super woo-woo-y, but it made me feel way better about how much we spent to stay there. And it made me enjoy it more because it felt like a premium place. So why do I say all this? I say all this because, so I used ChatGPT to create both the Airbnb copy and the guest book. And I told it up front what I wanted to do. And then I just had it, I said, ask me an insane number of questions about everything you need to put together both of these really well. And I gave it some starting points. But I just talked into ChatGPT for like 10 minutes. No, not 10 minutes. Probably an hour and a half to 2 hours about everything I loved about the property, about the neighborhood, about the story of the place, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it was an amazing way to go through and create the copy and also the guest book copy. And on the illustration front, I took a similar picture. Okay, I'm not going to lie. I took the exact same picture from the Airbnb that I loved. That little sketch. And I said, ChatGPT, I love this artistic style. Create a 14 to 16 sentence prompt that describes how to recreate this style. And one thing I have found is if you do that, if you just take an image and you tell ChatGPT every time, recreate the image I'm giving you in the style of this first image, what will happen is it will get close, but there will still be I have found a decent amount of variation between the styles of the images it creates. But if you take a seed image and you go in and you ask it to create an incredibly detailed text prompt, and then you use that text prompt every time to restyle your images, you will get much more consistency in the style. At least that's what I found. Hey, Andrew here with a quick sidebar. I want to introduce you to Andy from HelloBatch.com, where they sell super high-end CBD products and partner with a local farm out of Wisconsin. Really great, fun, friendly guy.
was hanging out with him recently at an Austin event. And here's what Andy had to say about his experience with E-commerce Fuel, our private vetted community for 7- and 8-figure store owners.
Hey guys, my name is Andy and I am the co-founder of Batch. Batch is a wellness brand that sells supplements. I started it about 5 years ago, and I can confidently say that one of my biggest mistakes during our first 3.5 years was not joining ECF sooner. ECF has helped me solve so many important problems and challenges for our business. I wish that I had time to sit here and name all of them, but I only have time to name a few. Firstly, it has helped me expand and build upon our SEO and affiliate strategy in a really big way. It has helped us do this based on direct feedback and tactics from people in the forum who have done it before. Secondly, it has helped us now almost launch a series of products on Amazon. We have never launched on Amazon before, and we had considered using an agency, but based on the feedback from people in the forum who have done it before, they were so helpful and provided so much information and guidance that we feel confident enough to do this ourselves without an agency, which I think is really cool. Thirdly, it has helped us grow the manufacturing side of our business. I think another thing really cool about ECF is the breadth of experience you have within the community. As it turns out, there's a lot of brands who also do their own manufacturing. I've been able to connect with a lot of these community members and get tactics and strategies for growing the manufacturing side of our business. In summary, I just think ECF is so cool because it makes you feel less lonely as an e-commerce founder. There is someone in the community who has dealt with the kind of problem that you're dealing with before, and that person is always willing to help you.
After hearing literally hundreds of comments like this over the last decade our community's been around, it's easy to offer our 10x guarantee. If you don't get at least a 10x ROI on your membership in the first year, in terms of increased revenue, saved time, and saved money, we'll give you a full refund plus an extra $1,000. But many of our members report seeing massive value in just the first month or two when applying it to their 7- or 8-figure business. You can learn more about the community and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com. Okay, back to the show.
So that was the process I used for the copy, the guest book, and the stylized images that looked very artistic. And I think the guest book, why spend so much time on the guest book, I think this is important to say. And I think one of the things I'm looking at with, I'm trying to apply general marketing tactics from the business and the e-com world to real estate, to Airbnb here. And I'm trying to make this a long-term play. The first year, of course, we'll use Airbnb because it's a great way to get people in the door when you don't have a whole lot of, you know, you don't have any word of mouth, when you don't have repeat guests, et cetera, et cetera. But the goal for this is to have this be a place where people really love, they come back to time and again, we build up a mailing list, and it doesn't even have to be a big mailing list. If you can get 100 people on a mailing list for a place that they love coming back to and they stayed in your property and had a great experience, that's pretty powerful. And having a guest book like that, when they come in and they learn more about it and it feels premium and branded and they know the story behind it, it just goes further in making it feel less like just another Airbnb and more like a cool place that they'll look back fondly upon and that has class and character. At least that's the goal. So that's the, you know, for example, one of the things in the guest book, have a little thing we call the Friends of the Refuge. So it's the name of the place is the Sonoran Refuge. And yeah, we have some incentives and a mailing list to join up and trying to build an email list like I would for any other business. So trying to do it in a long-term perspective. Automation. This is something that, you know, that whole thing about business, like you can make it better later, but just get it live. I'm definitely in the just getting it live phase. I think, you know, we've only had a handful, one or two guests so far and still working out the kinks. The goal is to get this as automated as humanly possible. For example, the last time our guests showed up, they walked in and it was like 85 degrees because nobody had turned on the AC. And there is a open source tool server called Home Assistant that I want to be able to build out. And it's so cool because you can sync it up with Airbnb with the calendar. And so every time that you know a guest is coming, you can say, hey, turn down the AC. You can sync it up with your locks and send unique codes. Anything that is smart home enabled with lighting, for example. You can have lighting turn on or off, or you know, all you can automate all of the things to make it as seamless as possible, so that all you really have to do is, you know, take money, clean, coordinate, answer questions, and everything else happens. So I'm not there yet. I'm excited to dive into that, but that's coming down the pipe. Same thing with optimization from what images work best on Airbnb to optimizing pricing. There's some tools called Price Labs and a bunch of others and some A/B split testers. I have not yet dove into those yet. That's on the hope to do that soon, but have not had the chance to do that yet. One thing that's interesting was diving into tax law. So this is interesting. So I don't know if this came out with the Big Beautiful Bill that just passed fairly recently, or I believe it did, but really getting into kind of tax geekery here with real estate. Traditionally, you are not allowed to, well, let me step back even further. Oftentimes, much of the appeal of real estate is that you get to depreciate it, and that depreciation can lower income in other areas. But the IRS will look at, and take this all with a grain of salt, I'm not a tax expert, talk to someone who knows what they're doing, et cetera, et cetera. This is not financial advice. But income, you kind of have different buckets of income that can offset each other or not. And you have earned income, like W-2 income, even capital gains. You wouldn't think it's earned, but it's in a bucket separate from real estate. And real estate income is called passive income when you're doing that. And so traditionally, you couldn't use the losses that you create with depreciation in passive income to offset your earned income. You could only use it to offset the income made from your real estate deals. But there are some exceptions, I believe, in the Big Beautiful Bill that roll out that in certain conditions, you can actually, if your average night stay is 7 days or less, which it is going to be for most Airbnbs or a lot of them, and if you take a somewhat meaningful role in helping to run it, which I'm not going to, I'm guessing if you're listening to this, you may or may not want to either, but you can actually offset those, your earned income from your business with the losses from an Airbnb. Anyway, very surface level, look into that. Big caveat is you also have to have a meaningful role in managing it, but kind of interesting. One thing that I was surprised by with this whole process is that sometimes it is fun to do something outside of your normal business jam, even if the ROI is going to be lower, and especially if it's something physical compared to something digital. There is something, I mean, we spend so much time on our computers, and even if you're delivering a physical product, probably 90% of the work that you're doing is online or on a computer or in an office. And there's something cool about putting together an in-person experience that's a little bit different, that just flexes different parts of your muscle and brain and gives you a new kind of venue a new channel to make money. It's just fun. It's like that early phase when you're first starting up your business, when it's just exciting and it's different and everything's new. And I will probably not be saying this with this much enthusiasm when somebody barfs all over our house and jumps out the window and we never hear from them again. But for now, it's a beautiful thing. So, and it's fun to do that. So that's something I noticed. So let me wrap this up. Why am I doing this? If you stuck around for this whole thing, why do an Airbnb, especially when I think the ROI is going to be pretty low? So we recently, as you may or may not know, lived in Tucson for the last 7 years, recently moved back to Bozeman, Montana. But the home here that we had in Tucson is probably my favorite place I've ever lived, just purely from an architectural and a place perspective. It's such a cool neighborhood. That the home is kind of this classic Spanish-style home with incredible light. We put a ton of time and energy into the landscaping and into opening up a floor plan and redoing the kitchen and building a casita, a little, you know, kind of mini office guest house out back. And it's just this place both myself and my wife, Annie, just deeply love. And we hope to be able to come back to someday. And even more than that, we hope to be able to, well, we plan on, I'm actually recording from the property right now. We want to be able to come back and use it intermittently from time to time for family vacations or just for quick little weekends or things like that. And so when we looked at all the different options, you know, with, do you rent it out long-term? Wow, that's tough because then you can't use it. you know, occasionally do you sell it? Yeah, you could sell it, but then we'll never get this property back most likely. And we kind of came up with the option of, well, if you can Airbnb it, it allows us to write off a lot of the expenses of the property, the vast majority of them, and we're not using it for personal reasons. It can help us generate income. And the other thing too is it has people in it, right? Like it's, we've had properties broken into before. We have had in this house catastrophic water damage where here's something that will save somebody an insane amount of time and energy. If you have an ice maker on your fridge and you have never replaced the little crappy, you know, straw-like thing that they make with the world's cheapest plastic that goes from the water line to the back of your fridge to make that ice, do yourself a favor, go to Home Depot or order like a new $15 steel braided cable and replace it yourself. It takes like 5 or 10 minutes. We did not do that. We bought the place, didn't even think about it. And yeah, somebody went into our house and we were gone checking out when we were on vacation and told us, oh, don't worry, there's a small leak, but I swept it all out. It was only 3 or 4 inches of water. 3 or 4 inches of water, insane amount of water. Anyway, it ended up being a whole year ordeal, tens of thousands, almost six figures in damage, replace that thing. So all that being said, if you have people in a property, they're going to notice those little things. They're going to be, you know, there's some cliche saying about, you know, how houses that have people in them last longer or do better. When all this said, real estate on the face, I think is a subpar investment when you look at it just from an ROI perspective, especially when you think about liquidity, et cetera. If you are a land baron in LA and you have a lock on the certain type of rental properties, and I've seen people do it exceptionally well when they niche down and it is their main thing. But if you're just trying to think about how do you diversify a property, should you get into casual real estate investing, I don't think it's a great on-the-face investment. But I think if there is a way that you can do it dual purpose where you have a lifestyle element to it, then you can say, okay, well, this helps me diversify into a different asset class. It's a hard asset, so it's going to be a nice inflation hedge. It's less volatile. Then I think you can get some depreciation benefits from it. Then I think if you compare that with a lifestyle thing, it can become a little bit more attractive. So anyway, that's the whole reason that we're doing it. So a big word sandwich here. I don't know if you made it this far, you probably have some interest in Airbnbs, or you just wanted to see why I was crazy enough to run one of these things. Regardless, yeah, we'll be doing a follow-up in another year to give you the whole, you know, the whole details on what the actual numbers were, how it went, et cetera, et cetera. And if you'd actually like to see it or even book it, it's in Tucson, Arizona, a really fun place if you love mountains, if you love biking, if you love great Mexican food, or you just like the sunshine. You can check it out at sonoranrefuge.com. That's S-O-N-A-R-A-N. Refuge, that's refuge.com. It'll send you on over to the Airbnb page. Again, maybe doing that for the first year, and then hopefully we'll be diversifying. So thanks for listening. If you're an entrepreneur who wants to connect with other experienced owners who are working to build a financially vibrant business alongside a rich, meaningful life, head on over to ecommercefuel.com to learn more and connect with 1,000 entrepreneurs just like you. Work hard, adventure often, and forge what matters. Look forward to seeing you again next Friday.